Please do turn to Romans chapter 15, verse 13. It's been our theme verse, and it's been wonderful to watch as our brothers have brought the various messages, how intertwined at every stage this passage that I get to exposit, wrapped in with what they had to say. So if you were not here, if you've not heard those messages, I really will recommend that you will go on our sermon audio or YouTube and we'll listen. And just so much, like our brothers this morning, that just laid a wonderful foundation for understanding God's truth. Romans 15, 13. Father, now this is your word as we prepare to hear it. Would you give us open and clear ears to hear? Would you empower the preaching of your word so that any instruments you use are hidden from sight and Christ is seen in his faithfulness? Would you encourage the discouraged? Would you rebuke the proud and arrogant? Would you awaken the dead and sleepy? Would you give grace? And yes, O King, above all, would you give us hope through Jesus? Amen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Now, that's been my prayer for all of you throughout this weekend. And really, it's a prayer that I pray fairly often for you, that you would abound in hope. To abound in something means that you overflow with it, that you have more than just a little, that you have much, that you indeed have all that you need and more. Because one of my assumptions and our assumptions in this conference has been that most of us could use a little hope. It's probably true at all times. It's really been true this past year. Many of us would say it has been a hard year. We're tired of the pandemic. We're worn out with the division and politics over pretty much everything right now. Across the nation, there is a great lack of hope. I mean, I don't think anybody is looking into the future right now and saying, oh boy, things are just getting better and better and better. No, we're a nation divided, filled with people who really don't feel very hopeful right now. There's a loss that's been recorded now in hope in government, a loss of hope in organized religion, a collapse of moral sanity on all fronts. I mean, really, right now, nothing feels stable. And right in the middle of all that, the church that ought to be the clear beacon of unity in Christ and His gospel seems to be divided almost over everything. It's hard to have hope when the ground beneath you feels like it's crumbling away. That's where we are. So what is the hope for the Christian in times like this? Well, here's what I want you to see this morning. For those who trust in Christ, great in every way. Because our faith, dear church, was made for times like this. The church was born into the turmoil of the Roman Empire. It's witnessed the collapse of kingdoms and cultures more than a few times. It's experienced persecutions, it's endured sufferings, and it's outlived tyrants again and again. The church has a God that we serve and a grace that He gives that is more than a match for any of these troubles and trials that He calls us to face. And so this morning, I want to encourage you to look up and to remember who God is and to realize how trusting Him equips you not only to endure such times, but to abound in them with hope in Christ. And so let's start there. What I want you to see in this prayer that Paul gives us is I want you to see the source of our hope is God Himself. Look again at how Paul says this in his prayer. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Notice he calls him the God of hope. That means that hope belongs to him. It's under his power. It's in his hands. If you're the God of something, that means that you own that thing, that you are in control of it, that you are free to do with it as you please. Among all the things that the Bible tells us God is, God of glory, God of grace, God of might, God of salvation, God of holiness, among all of those, he is the God of hope. And that means at least two things for us who trust in him. First of all, it means then that God himself is the source of our hope. He's its origin point. He's the fountain from which hope flows. To get hope, you must go to him. Just like when you're hot and thirsty for water on a dry day, you go to the fountain. So when your soul is thirsty for hope in a dry and broken world, you go to God. And specifically, you go to God as he's revealed himself to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 1 verse 1, Paul refers to Jesus Christ, our hope. And so here's the principle for us to understand. Hope for the Christian is experienced relationally in Christ. Now what I mean by that is, hope is not just a thing you go and get from God, the way that you would go to the store to get bread. Hope is the reality of who God is as you come to him. Hope is the reality that you find in God as you rest in him through faith in Christ. In other words, you don't use God to get hope. You get hope by drawing near to God. Seeing him for who he is, trusting him for all that he promises. And so God is the source of Christian hope. But second of all, along with that, we understand that God is also the object of our hope. By that I mean we don't just get hope from him. Our hope is found in him. Hope fixes its attention on God. It rests its confidence in him. It knows and trusts him. And so you don't just come to him to get hope. You rest in him as hope. You draw near to him and you look and you trust and you believe him for all of his promises. It's in knowing God as God that hope is secured. In knowing that he is indeed, as we've already read and seen, the living God. Right? What's that mean? It means a God who's alive and at work in you. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. To this end we toil and strive because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. He is the living God. He's active and he's alive in the world and in our lives. And so because he is the living God, as Jacob just preached, we can have a living hope. 1 Peter 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the living God. According to his great mercy, he's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Do you see the connection? I mean, all these sermons that have come before are piling in to this one point. A living God gives a living hope. A dead God can't give you any hope, but a living God gives all hope. Because he is a living God, he gives us a living hope. And again, notice we're talking about something that is relational in nature. How do I get this hope? By coming to God in Christ, by drinking from this fountain, by plunging into this grace, by having him and his life alive in me. Colossians 1:27 talks about Christ in you. How's that end? The hope of glory. You got to know these verses. You got to think on them. You got to let them be in your mind. You got to let them sink down into your bones. so that you understand day in and day out that hope is sourced in God. He owns it. He controls it. He gives it so that it flows out into our lives through Him. And so understand, this is more than just having good doctrine about hope so that you can define and know what hope is. This is having Christ as your hope so that you know who hope is and you're going to Him as your King, Savior, the one upon whom you rely daily. Right? Does that make sense? I mean, that's why this matters. Now, maybe this is a good place to define hope. Been done a few times this weekend, but exactly what do we mean by hope? See, one problem we face is that our little English word hope, generally speaking, is a real wimp. It is, isn't it? You don't use hope to describe some great confidence you have, not normally in this culture. You use hope to express a wish. We use our little English word hope just to mean, you know, something that we wish would happen. It may happen. It may not happen. You know, man, I hope it doesn't rain this afternoon, but it might. Man, I hope this guy doesn't preach too long. Well, give up on that. The English word hope is very thin and flimsy, but the way Paul uses this Greek word hope, it's not so much the word itself, but the way Paul uses it, it is of much stronger material because it means a firm confidence in something that is absolutely sure. A firm expectation that what has been promised will indeed be given, no doubt. Titus 1 verse 2 talks about the hope of eternal life, which God who cannot lie promised long ago. So if God cannot lie and He promised it, is that a flimsy hope or a strong hope? And we find this throughout the New Testament. Notice, in fact, how this hope is tied to the very character of God Himself. If God is true, if He cannot lie, then your hope is absolutely certain. And so we could say it like this. Hope is the supreme confidence in God that lets you smile at the future, no matter what's going on around you, because you know that He is faithful to keep every promise. Let me say that again. Hope is a supreme confidence in God that lets you smile at the future, no matter what's going on around you, because you know that He is faithful to keep His every promise. And just listen to Hebrews 6, 17 to 19. I really would have liked to have heard a sermon on this. We'll have to come back to it, I guess. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of His purpose, He guaranteed it with an oath. So that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this hope as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain.
Amen.
We have a strong hope because it is focused on, sourced in, comes from a strong God. He's the God of hope. Second thing, growing out of that, to understand that as we experience this hope, there's two aspects of hope, and I'm going to really focus on the second one. The two aspects are the objective aspect, which means the hope that is sure in Christ, the hope that is there whether you believe it or not. But the second aspect I want to focus on is our experience, the subjective aspect, the hope that we feel and engage in and experience because by faith we rest upon that objective hope. I'm going to talk about that more experiential. When we experience hope by actively trusting in Christ to be all that He's promised to be. Read it again. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in this experience of hope, He means. Now notice, may the God of hope fill you with these things. Notice that. God is the one who's doing this. You're not doing this. You're not making this happen. You're not causing this to come about. You're receiving it. You're on the receiving end. God gives the hope. You receive the hope. Again, this is a prayer, or really we call this a wish prayer. Paul addresses it to us, but he tells us what he's praying for us. And so the apostle here is asking God to give us something, to give us this overflowing hope. God gives it, you receive it. But notice, in that process, you are not entirely passive. This is important. Make sure you see it. He doesn't just say, you'll experience this hope no matter how you respond, because it's just automatic. You know, you just sit there and you wait for the holy zap to hit you. It doesn't work that way. Notice two very crucial words in this one verse following the words joy and peace, which we'll come back to. Notice those two words, in believing. Very crucial. We could translate that as by means of believing, or through the very act of believing, or as you place trust in Him. Meaning that God gives this hope to believers as they believe, through means of their trusting Him, of putting their faith in Him. We could say that faith is the door through which hope walks into our lives. Faith is the channel by which it enters into our experience. It's the very act of trusting Him that lets hope flood in. The image I like is the image of open hands. Just kind of do this. Put your hands like this. Just these open hands like this. Hope exists in God. He's its source. It's found in Him. So that all the hope I need to face these trials and to continue in them, all of that is found in God Himself. And God gives this hope freely to those who trust in Him. But there's in the middle of it, I must receive that hope. And to receive that hope, I open my hands and take hold of the hope He is offering. Well, in that description, faith is the open hand reaching to lay hold of the hope God gives. It's like if I give you a gift. There comes a moment in that transaction when you have to open your hand to receive the gift that's being given. In other words, there is action on your part. It takes an outstretched hand of faith to receive the hope that's being given. You're not just passive in this. You consciously, Christian, turn to Him, and by believing, notice how he says that, by believing, meaning by believing Him, by believing His promises, you take hold of the hope that He gives. Jeff told us yesterday that hope is faith reaching forward. And so let me just say it again, because this is key. It is the act of trusting Him that brings hope in. Faith is the funnel God uses to pour hope into your life. So to get hope, believe Him. Now, from a practical standpoint, what does that mean? Well, think of all those things God has given. We call by various names, disciplines of grace, all these other words. But basically, think of those things God has given that are indeed open hands by which we receive Him, by which we take hold of Him and the things that He's given, the graces He's given. First and foremost, there is the reading of Scripture. Just look up the page to verse 4 of this 15th chapter of Romans. Paul says, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." Reading the Scriptures by faith, looking to Jesus in there, but reading the Scriptures is a channel of hope. Fixing your eyes on Him by prayer is another channel of hope. Romans 12, verse 12. We're told, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer." In the middle of tribulation, the way you rejoice in hope is through being constant in prayer. Prayer is the channel by which God brings this hope into the experience in the midst of these trials. Reminding yourself who you are in Christ, according to the gospel, is a channel of hope. 1 John 3, 2 and 3, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is, and everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself, for He is pure." This hope orients us to Christ and orients us to all those promises of future grace others have talked about. It causes us, hope in Christ purifies our lives, meaning by orienting us to Him, it enables us to walk with Him in that increasing cycle of faith that brings hope and hope that ensures faith. It also gives us a holy boldness. Hope does. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 12. "Since we have such hope, we are very bold." Bold in the sense of being confident about the future. And so we know that God works all things together for the good of those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. Romans 8, 28 says, we know that not just with our brains, but with our experience. So in the process of knowing Him by faith, trusting Him to be who He claims to be and do all He's promised to do, that equips us to boldly endure the suffering and the trauma and the uncertainty that are unavoidable in this life. Romans 5, 2 through 5. We just read together. "Through Him, we've obtained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces," here it is, "even more hope. And hope doesn't put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." By faith in Christ, you are well equipped to face the traumas of this world. Do you understand that? You are well equipped to face the traumas of this world. And that's the next thing here. As Paul gives this prayer, notice this linkage. Notice that this hope that God gives by faith strengthens us to endure everything with all joy and peace. Amen. Read it again. "May the God of hope," that's who He is, "fill you," that's what He does, "with all joy and peace in believing," that's how He does it, "so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope." Now, here's what I want you to see. I want you to see that joy and peace are the living expression of hope. You know, have you ever studied a verse for years and years and suddenly something clicks that you just had never really noticed before? That was my epiphany, my eureka this week, is to suddenly realize that joy and peace aren't just tagged on here as tag-alongs to hope, but they are the actual outgrowth and lived experience of this hope as it works its way into our lives. The way we experience hope in the Christian life is seen by the joy we express and the peace we possess through faith in Christ. We might even say that joy and peace are the offspring of hope. The daughters of hope. Think about it. First of all, joy. What is joy? Joy is the celebration of your hope in Christ. Amen. I mean, look at the connection again in Romans 5:2 that I read. "Through Him we've obtained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Hope expresses itself outwardly as rejoicing in God no matter what the circumstances. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, "Rejoice always." And you see, dear one, this is why joy is so vastly superior to happiness. Joy can be experienced as a sense of happiness, but they're not the same thing, because happiness usually depends upon what is happening. You even hear the similarity, right? Happiness is rooted in what is happening, but joy does not depend on what is happening. Joy runs deeper, oh, so much more deeper. Joy exceeds circumstances because it is anchored to a reality in God that is beyond all experience. I love that image of the hope as an anchor of the soul. Again, I just read it in Hebrews 6:19. We have this hope as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. A hope that enters into the inner place where Christ is behind the curtain. And so hope is an inner confidence in God that expresses itself outwardly as joy. Joy is this inward hope erupting outwardly as praise to God. So that when you're expressing joy in Christ, you do so, whether you realize it or not, from a foundation of hope because you believe Him, because you trust Him. And so here's one application of that. And so the way to increase your joy is to intensify your hold on hope. And the way to intensify your hold on hope is to draw near to God by faith in Christ. And so we're right back to things like word and prayer and fellowship and encouragement. And you understand, that's what we're called to do. Every time we come together as a church, we are called to help each other see Christ more clearly so that by faith, hope burns brighter. We help each other see Him in our low times and in our struggles. We help each other hear Him speak through His word of promise and encouragement. We encourage each other day after day, as long as it is called today. This is the Christian life. It's the corporate life of the church, so that hope in Christ burns brighter and stronger in each of us, enabling us together to express our joy in Him, no matter what's going on. And so joy is the outward expression of our hope. But then second, peace. Peace is the inward possession of that hope in Christ. Read it again. May the God of hope, that's who He is, fill you, that's what He does, with all joy and peace in believing, that's how He does it, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. A second way that we experience God's gift of hope is through the reality of His peace taking possession of our souls. Peace is hope working its way down into your soul, giving you a deepening sense of the presence and confidence in God. And so when you think about this peace, which is a spiritual peace, right? The shalom that we meet in the Old Testament. When you think about this peace, don't think of it as an absence of conflict. You know, everything's going great. Don't expect that you're going to have an easy time without troubles or trials, that you're not going to have to deal with hateful people, that that's the kind of peace you're being offered. No. Just the opposite. Almost every promise of peace in the Bible is made in the context of trouble and trial and worldly hatred aimed at you. John 14:17, Jesus says, "Peace I leave you, my own peace," right? This is coming from Him, just like hope, "I give to you, not as the world gives," the mere absence of conflict with good feelings. "Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Why does He say that? Because your heart's going to be troubled by the troubles and you're going to be afraid of the trials, because that's just part of life in this broken world. But this peace He has given from Himself operates in that context of trouble and trial and fearful circumstance. Peace is that inner confidence in God that secures us to Him even in the face of trials and troubles. For, and this is really wonderful, just as He is the God of hope in Scripture, He's also the God of peace. Romans 15:33, "And indeed the Lord of peace." 2 Thessalonians 3:16, "Now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace at all times, in every way. The Lord be with you all." The way He gives you peace at all times in every way is He's with you. And so it is His presence in our lives that brings this peace and hope and joy to us. And it's the consciously engaging those promises to see His presence and to know His presence that causes the reality of hope as joy and peace to flood into our lives. He gives us peace through His presence. How? By driving hope, a restful trust in Him, deep into our souls. I mean, think about that. What usually causes anxiety in your life? I'm not talking about the medical kind, but the anxieties that we experience in the midst of our circumstances and fears. Usually anxiety is rooted in an absence of the sight of God as we focus on the thing causing the fear or concern. Generally, anxiety comes as fear of some future situation that we can't control. Uncertainty about a possible outcome that we don't like. And the more you focus on that possible outcome, the more anxiety that you begin to feel, right? You know, so you're up at 2 a.m. and you can't sleep. Been there? But peace comes when the heart shifts its focus back to God with confidence that He holds the future in His hands, that He's working in the middle of this mess as He promised, that He will keep every one of His promises so that we can rest our case with Him. And that's the promise of places like Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything. Now, if that verse stopped there, you would slam your Bible shut and walk away and you'd say, that's impossible. But it doesn't stop there. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Another name for that heart and mind guarding peace is hope. Peace is hope working its way down into your soul in a way that gives you confidence about God. And so both joy and peace are the lived-in reality of hope. It's hope working its way through your experience. Peace is the inward reality of hope bringing comfort to your soul in times of trouble and confusion. Joy is the outward expression of that hope as it orients you to God and gives you confidence about the future, especially about the resurrection and the life to come. Okay, so again, how do these daughters of hope make their way into the lived experience of our lives? Well, look again. May the God of hope, that's who He is, fill you, that's what He does, with all joy and peace in believing, that's how He does it, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Again, notice the key. The key is that in believing, by means of looking to God in faith, believing that He is who He claims to be and will do all He's promised to do. That's the hand that opens up to secure hope along with the joy and the peace it brings. And notice, just for the sake of joy, that He doesn't say a little bit of joy and peace. What's He say? All joy and peace. Meaning what? Meaning all you're ever going to need. Christian, believe me, you are well supplied with hope when by faith you cling to Jesus. And so again, the way to increase your hope and joy and peace is to strengthen your faith in Christ, to keep looking to Him through His Word and in prayer, by fellowship with other believers, and a daily holiness of life seeking Him. And so you turn to Him for these things, which brings us to the last thing. Third, so we overflow with this hope through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Verse 13 again. May the God of hope, that's who He is, fill you, that's what He does, with joy and peace in believing, that's how He does it, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. And so here's what I wanted to be a little careful in what I've been saying. I don't want to leave you with the impression When I say that you're not passive, I don't want to leave you with the impression that hope and joy and peace are therefore things that you are left to work up in some way. So if you're really good at faith, whatever that means, you'll have lots of these things. But if you're not so good at it, man, you're just sunk. No. Notice again how this hope is given to all believers, to all believing Christians, as they trust in Him, which is the heart of Christianity. Hope along with joy and peace are worked into our lives by the gracious presence of God's Spirit dwelling in us and giving us faith and giving us the ability to keep looking at Him. Again, it's a prayer. So again, listen to it. Boy, I hope you're not getting tired of me reading one verse over and over again, because it's so rich. May the God of hope, that's who He is, fill you, that's what He does, with all joy and peace in believing, that's how He does it, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. So two things here. First, the goal of this prayer that Paul prays is that you will abound in hope. Remember, that's where we started. Abound doesn't mean just a little bitty bit, a little trickle, and that God's going to be stingy in giving hope. God is not stingy in giving hope. To abound means to overflow. It means to pile up heaps upon heaps upon heaps. So there's not just a little trickle of hope flowing down into your experience, but a mammoth mountain of hope rushing down to overwhelm our anxieties. Now, just a little bit of joy here and there, a little peace partialed out, you know, once in a while, but all joy and all peace that we will ever need for all eternity. Amen. That's what's promised here. So this is not just a little bitty promise, though it's a little bitty verse. This is a huge promise. Can you see? And so as we keep on trusting and believing and resting in Him, looking to Him by faith, there will come an ever-expanding, always growing, never-failing abundance of hope flowing out from God to meet every need, securing us in every trial, enabling us to persevere through the pain and the suffering, no matter what shape they take. Okay, then, so here's the question. That is a big promise. How can I be sure? How can I be sure then that God will deliver on that promise and that I'll actually experience this hope with its joy and peace that's being promised? Because honestly, if I know me, I know that my faith sometimes can be quite weak. My joy gets really fragile at times. Peace eludes me. I don't know about you, but sometimes I can feel so very hopeless. Like many of you, I can fall into doubt. I can fall into fear. I can be filled with anxiety, depression. So that if it's left up to me to have to work up this hope, honestly, I'm sunk. Yes, but look at the last crucial line in the prayer, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Friend, church, Christian, God has not left you on your own to work this up or to work hope out. You don't have to, boy, this is important. You don't have to fake joy and peace around other Christians, because Christian, He's given you a helper. Isn't that what Jesus calls the Holy Spirit? The Paraclete who comes along, puts His arm around you, nestles up right against you, and helps you at every stage. The Holy Spirit comes with all of His gifts. I mean, who are we talking about here? This is the mighty Spirit of God who dwells in the life of every believer.
Amen.
And notice, all of this is brought to us, Paul prays, in the energy and the power of the Holy Spirit Himself. He's the one entrusted with delivering these things to you. I almost want to say He's the delivery service, but He's so much more than that. I don't want to cheapen it. But He really does bring these things into our lives. The Holy Spirit has been given the task by the Father and the Son to bring this hope. So is He up to the job?
Absolutely.
He is up to the job. I mean, again, just think who He is. Who is this Holy Spirit? Don't cheapen Him. Who is He? He is God. Third person of the Trinity, along with the Father and the Son, sent by the Father and the Son to dwell within believers, bringing them to life through the miracle of regeneration, empowering them to trust in Christ through all trials and to walk with Christ all the way to the end. And so again, we need to see that the hope and all it brings with it comes to us by means of a relationship with God, the Holy Spirit. A relationship with God, the Father, through our relationship with God, the Son. Hope is relational. It's not just a thing we do. It's not just a product we try to work up. It is a reality He brings into our lives as we are joined to Him by faith. The reason we have a living hope is because we are connected to a living God, anchored to Him by faith through the indwelling presence of His Holy Spirit, connecting us to His Son for all that He has promised, every bit of it being delivered into our lives because He is faithful and can't lie. And so if Christ dwells in you, Christian, if you're a Christian, He dwells in you, right?
Amen.
I don't have time to go into that little bit of theology, but I could guarantee, I can show you, if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. If the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell in you, Paul says you're not a Christian. If the Holy Spirit dwells in you, that means His power is at work in you to supply these realities in your life. The Holy Spirit is here to do that. And so, for instance, joy and peace both come to us as a result of the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives, right? You know the verses. Galatians 5:22 describes these as part of the fruit of the Spirit. Wherever the Holy Spirit dwells, He brings, among other things, joy and peace, which are the expression of hope. Romans 14:17 says the very essence of being a part of the kingdom of God is this. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Where the Holy Spirit dwells as living God, He brings these qualities with Him so they become a part of our lives. More than that, Christian, as you grow in Christ and grow in faith and therefore grow in hope, they ought to begin to define your life. They ought to be qualities that set you apart from the world around you so that we understand that hope, joy, and peace aren't just good ideas. They're not just good things to have if you can get them. They are things God intends to characterize your life as a believer in a growing way. Hope, joy, peace, as we walk with Jesus, set us apart from the unbelieving world around us. So while it is mired in the hopelessness of this world, and as one of our speakers said, the secular vision of life ends in a black pit of despair, as the world around us is mired more and more in hopelessness, we are to be filled with hope. While the world around us is wrangling with strife and anger and division, we are to be full of peace in Christ. While this world wallows in depression and blackness, we gather to worship in joy.
Amen.
Because these are the things that God's Spirit brings into our lives when by faith we trust in Christ and walk with Him in the power of the Spirit. This is what the apostle is praying for you in this prayer. This is what God is working in you through faith as you trust in Him. Dear one, here's the question. Are you trusting in Him? Are you with regularity as this world assaults you? And I know that it assaults you in all different ways. Our battles aren't the same, but they're the same. As this world assaults you, assaults your kids, assaults your marriage, assaults your world, assaults your sense of security, Are you turning consciously to rest in these promises? Is your default to run to the promise of God in Scripture? And when you're too weak to run to the promise of God in Scripture, to get with another believer to come along beside you and help you run to the promise of God in Scripture, and to pray because you know that there is no hope anywhere else but in Him. It's available in Him through these means of grace, through the Holy Spirit. So you turn to Him and you pray and you look to Him in faith, and you continue to look to Him in faith because you know it's there. You know the hope is promised and He has not lied. And so you press on and persevere in that until you see that hope beginning to dawn and reorient to you to Him, so that you have all you need, not only to get yourself by this week, but to get those around you by, as we keep our focus together, walking with Christ to the end that He has promised, which, by the way, is glorious.
Amen.
May the God of hope, that's who He is, don't forget it, fill you with all joy and peace, that's what He does, in believing, that's how He does it. So that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that's no small power, by the way, you may abound in hope.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, help us as Your people to abound in hope. And Lord, every one of us very readily would confess that there are times, maybe even this past week, maybe even this weekend, that we have not abounded. We've stumbled. But Lord, it is our stumbling that is the very reason this promise exists. You offer these things to us in these bright promises because we find ways to stumble away in the darkness. And this bright light of hope that You give through the gospel of Christ is meant to draw us like moths to a flame back to the reality of who You are and what You promise. So would You, Lord, by the kind graciousness of Your Holy Spirit working in us, get our eyes off of the particular circumstances and fears that have us being filled with anxiety, and give us grace to lay hold of Christ by faith and to continue doing that, not just once or twice, but every day at every point, helping each other along the way, that Christ's glory may burn bright in our eyes as we are drawn constantly to Him into that promised future of glory that is the goal and the reality given to every Christian. We ask this in the strong, never lying name of Jesus. Amen.